Absolutely.
Let's go before the Lord together before we hear his word. Lord, we thank you for just the goodness and truth that Lanier pointed out, that we are not just a religion of doing our own thing, of trying to be good and well and continually improving simply, but we are a religion and a people of your righteousness. And Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you that that would be more than enough. But graciously and mercifully, you don't just leave us there with our with your righteousness going, now what do we do? But you also give us your wisdom. You also give us truth. You give us your word. And so now we are blessedly getting to approach that word, blessedly getting to hear what you have to say to us and get it explained by your man, by your pastor. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you this morning for your word, for your wisdom, for the absolution of our sins, and everything that you've given us. We pray all that in your son's name. Amen. Well, as I said, we have some wisdom from God this morning, a good peppering of the Proverbs. And so I'm just going to read through those. Proverbs 17, 27 through 28 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." Proverbs 15, 1 through 2 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly." Proverbs 10, 14 tells us, "The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near." Proverbs 11, 9 says, "With his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered." Proverbs 18, 7 says, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Proverbs 12, 13 says, "An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble." Proverbs 25, 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." Brothers and sisters, you have received God's righteousness this morning. This is speaking about you. Now hear and be guided by it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Rob. My father is famously a night owl. All growing up, he'd, you know, just stay up all night, like watching TV and doing different things. And it's funny because, like, I couldn't be more the opposite. Arden and I are fighting to see who can get in bed first at 8:30. You know, it's like we got to make it to 8:30. We can't do this. But when he comes to town, he does the same thing. He stays up all night, and he's found a compadre in that, young Caleb here. And they like to stay up all night watching this show called Blue Bloods. You ever seen Blue Bloods? I don't know what it is. They'll watch this show for hours, and I was like, what is with this thing? And I turned it on one night, and I started watching, and it's like a police show, and It's a nice show. It's about good and evil. There's heroes, there's villains. And then there's Tom Selleck, who at this point has got to be 108 with jet black hair. You know, it's unbelievable. The guy never ages. And Tom Selleck is, he's the wise, sage officer that every time the other police officers have a problem, they come to him, and he gives them this perfect piece of advice that kind of helps them through their problems. And you think about this sort of wise sage character all over our stories. When we tell stories, this kind of person shows up all the time. I think of James Earl Jones's character in Field of Dreams. Every time Kevin Costner's having an issue, you know, Terrence Mann gives him just the right word. You think of Yoda in Star Wars, right? The little pieces of advice that he gives. There's something archetypal in this wise man. And I think the fact that he keeps showing up in all of our stories reveals something about us. It tells us that the deep inside of us, there is this desire for wisdom. There's this sense that the world is confusing and we don't have all the answers, and we just need that person that could kind of point us in the right direction. I mean, even as subconsciously, as we listen to stories, these become the people that we look up to because we yearn for wisdom. Last week, we said wisdom comes from the fearing the Lord And wisdom comes as a gift from the Lord. But wisdom also comes in a very specific and direct manner in Proverbs. That is, that God speaks about how wisdom works itself out through the very practical matters that are involved in our life. So today we're going to be looking at one of those very practical things about the wisdom of the tongue. You know the tongue? It's the mouth. It's the words that you speak, and Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue and wisdom. Over and over again, Proverbs tells us that our words hold tremendous power. Chapter 18, verse 7 says this, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." So that our mouths have the ability, Proverbs says, to ruin our lives, to make things hard. I mean, you've done this. You've said something you're like, gosh, I really regret saying that, and get you in all kinds of trouble. Proverbs 11:9 says, "With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor." That the power, your words have so much power, they could destroy your neighbor. And if you consider your life, like, I can say I've probably done more damage in my life with my words than I have with my actions. I've caused more heartache, hurt more people, put myself in more terrible positions, not because of what I did, but because of what I said. Words have power. And they don't simply have the power to ruin things or destroy things. They also have the power to create things and to build things. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, health to the body." Words have power. They have the ability to tear down or to build up. To praise, to curse, to slander, to encourage. Words can belittle or words can compliment. With our words, we can speak lies or we can speak the truth. We can protect others or we can become accomplices of evil. We can usher in peace or we can bring in war. Words have power. And so for thousands of years, God has been instructing his people to use their words wisely. And in Proverbs, God speaks, I think, of at least four different ways that you, the people of God, should handle your words wisely. Now, before we do that, let me give you a little caveat about Proverbs. Because Proverbs isn't laid out like other books where all the verses about your words and wisdom and tongues are in one chapter. They're kind of strewn throughout in random sentences. So you're going to hear me kind of shotgunning these verses at you a lot. And some of them are in your order of worship. Some of them are written under the title if you want to look them up later. But they're pretty easy to find if you can't keep up. Let's look at the four ways Proverbs speaks about the tongue. The first is this. Proverbs says wisdom should be used in regards to the volume of your words. Proverbs 10:10 says, "A babbling fool will come to ruin." A babbler is somebody who speaks a lot of pointless words. Wisdom says, if you talk and talk and talk and talk, you're a fool. Why? Well, it's very easy. You tend not to assess situations very well because you can't gain any information. You can't really observe what's happening. You can't listen and perceive when you're talking. All you can do when you're talking is to reveal yourself. You can't even reflect that well on who you are and what you feel when you're busy running your mouth all the time. I think about arguments that Art and I have had over the years, marital moments, we like to call them. And I would guess, like, in more often than not, the situation that we get into is I start running my mouth and I don't stop and listen and figure out what the real problem is. So we get into this big argument because we're not really hearing each other. We don't really know what the real issue is. We're sort of assuming it from somebody else, and we're talking the whole time, and we can't figure it out. And it brings a lot of hurt and pain and ruin. When you're babbling, you often find yourself alone. People who talk a lot tend not to have a lot of friends. We have a great friend, really sweet person. She really means well. You cannot get a word in when you're around her. I mean, she doesn't mean anything by it, but you literally just can't get a word in. And the truth is, it's like, as much as you like her, it's like, it's just hard. It's just hard to be there. And then you don't really feel like you're known around this person because they're talking all the time. When you speak volumes of words, you usher in ruin because you say things that you didn't mean to say. Who can reflect on everything they're saying when they're just vomiting out volumes of words all the time? You ask any good interviewer, any good lawyer, what do they want to get the person to do? Start talking. Just get them talking, and all of a sudden, they'll start saying things that they didn't want to say. They'll incriminate themselves, or they'll blurt some secrets that they didn't mean to say. Such is true of you. When you speak volumes of words, you say things you don't mean. But listen to what Proverbs says about wisdom in regards to how you talk. 11:12. It says, a man of understanding remains silent. Chapter 17, verse 27 and 28. Whoever restrains his word has knowledge. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Chapter 13, verse 3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Wise people know how to restrain their words. And even if you aren't a wise person, and there's a few of us that aren't wise people in this room, or else there's no point for Proverbs. Proverbs tells you, keep your mouth shut. And if you do, do you know what people will think of you? They will consider you wise, even when you're a fool. I mean, I have been in this situation so many times where, you know, the masses of people will think that is a really godly person. And I'm like, well, maybe, but I think it's mostly that they're just quiet. That's not the worst thing in the world. I remember my boss, my first boss was this incredible salesman. I mean, he was kind of whatever, the highest ranking IBM salesman. He had done incredible in his life. And I remember the first couple of sales calls that we went out on, and, you know, I'm sort of Mr. Extrovert and kind of bouncing off the walls, and I'm thinking, this is what you do to sell. You know, you be funny, you be big, you have a lot to say. And about the third time, he said, okay, we're going in here. Don't talk anymore. He's like, you're confused. Good salesmen don't talk. Good salesmen listen. He's like, we're not trying to convince people what to buy. We're trying to get them to buy what they already want. And the only way to figure that out is to be quiet and to hear them say it. I mean, even the secular salesman knows that the volume of your words brings destruction, but silence, monitoring those words, brings life. Be careful about how much you speak. Secondly, the timing of our words. Wisdom says that timing matters, that when we say something is as important as what we say. 25:11 says, this is one of my favorite proverbs, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And what that proverb is speaking to here is the value and the preciousness of fitting a word in correctly. That is, it's about finding the spot and the right words at the right moment. And that matters. You know, I think about often over the years in counseling people in marriage, like I've given that advice that the word fitly spoken is pretty important. So you have a spouse come and say something to me like, hey, look, we're having an issue. Let's say, I think my spouse is drinking too much. Let's just say something like that. And I need to talk to him or her about it. And I said, okay. But what ends up happening is they'll decide to have that conversation in the middle of an argument. You know, so you're fighting about the dishes, you're fighting about the kids, you're fighting about the finances. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know what? You drink too much. And that don't go over so well. Because emotions are running high and it can't be heard. It's not a word fitly spoken. Instead of coming in a time of peace and saying, look, we need to sit down. We're having an issue. Like, can we talk about this thing? When emotions and the guns are holstered, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Timing matters. It can be the difference between a word bringing life and a word bringing destruction. Third, I think the Proverbs speak about the wisdom of our words in regards to the speed of our words. It's similar to timing, but it's a little bit different, and the difference is important. Chapter 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Chapter 29, verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. That Proverbs says, words hastily spoken are foolish. That you're better off just being somebody who doesn't know anything, being unwise, than you are being somebody who responds quickly. Now, the difference between this and timing is subtle. That the timing is often about the consideration of when the other person can hear it. The speed and the rashness with which we speak is oftentimes about us. And when we speak hastily, we say things we regret. And that's because oftentimes our quick responses are unconsidered responses, and they come out of the emotions of the moment. Somebody says something to you, and in haste, you just blurt out this thing because, you know, you were feeling sad or angry or happy or whatever it is. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody come up to me and say something to me, and immediately I feel attacked. And my emotions are telling me that I'm upset and I'm threatened and I'm angry. And so I just go, wham, you want to draw swords? Let's draw swords, baby. And I say something I regret. Whereas if I had taken my time and reflected on that, if I had even waited a few hours, a few days to sort of fully grasp it, sometimes when I come back to those situations, what I realize is, you know what? That person wasn't attacking me. I totally misread the situation, and my emotions confused me. You can't get to that sort of point when you're running off hasty replies. I've seen this with preaching a lot. You know, I think I've said a lot of words up here over the years, and you know, we don't shy away from saying sometimes controversial, a little bit edgy things up here. That's not our way. You know how it is around here. But I think back and it's like, you know, I don't regret very many things I've said when I have reflected on those things. A lot of what is said here is reflected. What's always gotten me in trouble here is when I sort of throw one off the cuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I make a little comment about throwing cats in a bag full of rocks and all of a sudden I got the entire church mad at me. Some of y'all weren't here for that. A number of years ago, I said, if I see another stray cat around my house, I'm going to throw it in a bag with rocks in the creek behind my house. It didn't go over so well with cat people. They did not like that. They did not like that. Just mouthing off, right? Just saying silly things in haste. We do this with electronic communication. I mean, this happens all the time. You get a text, you get an email, it says something, and immediately your emotions are heightened and you fire something back, and then all of a sudden you're in the middle of this thing. And what would be wisdom here is to say, when I get an email or something that sparks an emotion, and it may be a hard thing to hear, it may be an out-of-line thing, what I need to do is I need to take a deep breath. I need to pause. I need to go to the Lord. I need to ask for wisdom. And I probably need to wait. And what you will find is your response is vastly different, because words spoken in haste bring destruction. James 1:19 says this: "Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak." Wisdom says, slow down. Don't vomit your responses up immediately. Ruin comes when you rush in. Fourth, probably most importantly, Proverbs says that the content of our words matters. It's not just when you say something. It's not just how slowly or timing of that thing. It's not how pithy and short it is when you say it. It actually matters the substance and the content of what you are saying. Chapter 11, verse 12 says, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense." So if the content of your speech is to make people feel little, small, unimportant, then you are a person that is a fool. And part of the reason that is because when you belittle people, what happens when people belittle me? I don't know about you. You're probably better people than me. When somebody belittles me, my thought is they've now become an enemy. I put them in the enemy category over here, and I'm going to hold that grudge. So what you do when you belittle people is you create problems for yourself. Wisdom is saying this is an unwise thing to do. Proverbs goes on and to give a special effort to a certain kind of content. That is to slander and gossip. If you're reading Wisdom in the Mouth, Proverbs on the Mouth, they talk a lot about slander and gossip. It says this, verse 11:13. "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." Chapter 17, verse 9. "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." Man, we love repeating the matters. 26:20. "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and there is no whisper. Where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Proverbs says slander and gossip are seriously unwise things to put on your lips. And slander and gossip are prevalent among us. If I could list the sins of the religious, that is, of even the best and truest Christians, it starts with, number one, judgmentalism. And judgmentalism leads very, very quickly to gossip and to slander. We like to talk about other people's business. We like to veil it in the idea that somehow we're being helpful because we're letting everybody know. But really, we just don't like a thing to be covered. We want it to be exposed and to move on. And the Lord is saying, this is a very unwise. I mean, not only is it sin, right? We know that. It's just not a smart thing to do. I mean, you think about, have you ever been in a situation where you got some juicy news? Oh, such and such did this, right? And they did something really bad, and then you go over here, you start gossiping to three or four people about it, and it gets back to them. And all of a sudden, the issue isn't what they did, which was the wrong thing. All of a sudden, you're the issue. Because you were gossiping, because you were slandering somebody. We need to be a group of people who have a different substance to our words other than other people's faults and sins. It's unbecoming of a Christ follower to be a gossip. You should cover a thing over. Keep it silent. Don't add wood to the fire. Scriptures go on about our content. Ephesians 4:29 says this: Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. You know, we have a very popular proverb that your mom's probably said about this here in America, and it goes right along with that. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Has anybody ever said this to you before? This is an American proverb, but it comes directly out of this. That is, don't let corrupting, unwholesome, unrighteous talk come out of your mouth. Your words, as an overall concept, the content of them should reflect biblical righteousness. That is, everything that you're doing and everything that you're speaking should season the room and the people that you're with salt. You know, salt makes things taste better. So if your speech seasons things with salt, it makes the room better. It makes people feel better. It gives a sense of who Jesus is. Our mouths have power. And wisdom's telling us it's not simply to keep your mouth shut, but we're to use our mouths to speak the right and the good and the beautiful. Proverbs has a couple of them of instances about this. Chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Chapter 15, verse 15. A gentle answer, or a soft answer, as we heard, turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Chapter 12, verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Have you ever considered that your words could be a balm to an anxious soul? I was walking out the door this morning. Arden looks at me. She says, what's the matter? I said, I'm really anxious about something. And she's like, well, that's happening tomorrow, not today. And it's like, so just put it in the box and set it over there. And I was like, yeah, that's what I need to do. All of a sudden, my heart grows glad, right? It's a wise word. It was spoken. It's a balm to the soul. Have you ever considered that your words could heal somebody? They could calm someone down. They could bring peace to a situation. Words have power. When words are unwisely spoken, they bring ruin. They bring hurt. They incite anger. They bring violence. They divide. But when words are spoken with wisdom, they heal. They bring peace. They bring comfort. They cause joy. They unite people. They shut down evil. They usher in righteousness. Words have power. And they must be used wisely. But ultimately, and I want you to understand this about wisdom, Proverbs is only speaking of the earthly implications of your words. Matthew 15, 18, Jesus says this, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. So what Jesus is saying is that what comes out of your mouth is actually generated in your heart, and what defiles you is the sin that you're manufacturing deep inside of you. It makes you dirty. It renders you guilty. And so self-control of words aren't going to save you from your soul deep problem of sin. That what your mouth reveals is the problem that's deep inside of you, and no volume control or timing or trying to be a little bit better can fix the brokenness from which your words proceed out. Only Christ's death on a cross has the power to transform my lying, slandering, hating, violence-inducing, gossiping, belittling heart. Because the gospel offers a heart transplant. The gospel offers the power to change who I am. Not a program of being better, but to actually change who I am. And it does that in three ways. First, the gospel offers forgiveness for all of the awful things that I've ever said in my life. I've crushed people with my words. I've slayed people with my tongue. I've cursed God with my lips. And I'm ashamed of those things. But God offers forgiveness in Christ Jesus. God offers the gospel for transformation. Scriptures say, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. It is that what the gospel does is it changes me so that I have new desires and affections, such that the gossip and the slander, they're just not as fun as they once were when the new heart is put in. And last, the gospel gives a special gift, the Holy Spirit. That when God himself comes to reside in you, he gives a guiding wisdom that gives you eyes and ears to sense, like, okay, I'm coming up on an unwise moment. I need to not speak right now. And the Spirit pricks you. And he leads you in the paths of wisdom. Beloved, all of this is yours in Christ Jesus, if you would take it. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we bless you for this day. God, we bless you that you have not left us to ourselves to be on a program of self-control or self-improvement, but Lord, you've given us Christ Jesus to transform. Lord, for these ones that are awake enough to hear, that have the Spirit to receive, that have been called by your name, would you lead them in a path of wisdom? Would you show them the ways to use their mouths wisely? We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.